Today, we will read Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would speak to us today. Lord, show us more about who you are. Help us know you in a better way. Lord, I pray that you would prepare our hearts, open our ears and our minds to hear your word, and change us to be more like you. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.'" They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at a doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, "What are you doing, untying that colt?" They answered as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who went ahead and those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to find out if it had any fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves, because it was not the season for figs. Then he said to the tree, "May no one ever eat fruit from you again." And his disciples heard him say it. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling doves, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple courts. And as he taught them, he said, "Is it not written, 'My house will be called a house of prayer for all nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" The chief priests and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him, for they feared him, because the whole crowd was amazed at his teaching. Okay. Today, we saw what is called the triumphal entry of Jesus, where Jesus comes into Jerusalem and everyone is praising him and worshiping him. Now, in this, Jesus has them get a colt, a young donkey that has never been ridden, and he rides on it. Now, this is actually the fulfillment of a prophecy. It is the fulfillment of something that God had promised was going to happen hundreds of years before Jesus was even born. Hundreds of years before, in the book of Zechariah, in Zechariah 9:9, The prophet had spoken about the future, and he had said this. Listen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And this is what happens. Jesus comes in like a king. All of the people are putting down their coats and branches of leaves on the road so that it has like a royal pathway to go down. In today's world, it makes me think of what is called the red carpet, where they put down this pathway for them to walk on. And so that is what is happening. And as he comes in, the people are rejoicing and praising and singing and shouting and being very excited. And he's riding on this donkey. And so he is doing exactly what God said he would do. And he is fulfilling this prophecy. Now, as he's coming in, they are shouting, Hosanna! And the meaning for Hosanna, while they are saying it in praise and worship of Jesus, the real meaning is something closest to save us. They see Jesus coming in like a king, and they think, yes, he is here, he will save us. And I think that they are expecting him to be a political leader. But once again, that is not why Jesus was there. But still, they recognized who he was. And they said, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. You see, Jesus descended from David. And so in many ways, he was the rightful king. But Jesus had a kingdom in mind much different from what they expected. His kingdom was the kingdom of heaven. And at this time, it was limited to a spiritual kingdom, where he is my king, and I worship and serve him. But it's not a political or a earthly kingdom at this point. The Bible does teach that one day Jesus will come back and he will be the king on earth as well. But that has not happened yet. And so all these people are praising Jesus and praising God, saying, Save us! Save us! Blessed is he who comes! Blessed is the man who is going to be the king like David. And they're worshiping him. And he accepts it. He doesn't stop it because he knows that he is fulfilling prophecy. But he also knows that in many ways they are right. It is right for them to worship him. It is right for them to praise him because he is who they think he is. The small problem is they don't understand what he's really all about. But they will. They will understand. And so, next Jesus leaves, goes back home, or goes back to Bethany and where he's staying. As he's going, he sees a fig tree. Now, we'll talk more about this later, probably tomorrow, when he comes back to it later on. But he sees his fig tree, has no figs on it, and he curses it. And so, actually, tomorrow when we read, we'll see that he comes back and it's actually dead. But we'll talk about that later. But he curses this. Now, next, he does go back to Jerusalem, and he comes into the temple courts. And there, he finds people selling things, exchanging money. He gets very angry and throws them all out. He turns over the table from the money changers. He kicks over the benches. And he basically cleans house. He gets rid of all these businesses, all these little vendors trying to sell things. And he gets angry and said, my house is to be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of robbers. Now, he wants the church, he wants the temple to be kept different, to be pure, to be involved in the worship of God. And they had turned it into a marketplace. What would happen is many people from all over the world would travel to the temple because that was where they could worship God. At this time, it was really limited. And if they wanted to offer a sacrifice, they needed to go to Jerusalem, to the temple there. Jesus changed all that for us. But for them, this was a big deal. And so what had happened is these travelers from far away would come and they would have to buy an animal to sacrifice because maybe they were not able to bring one with them on their long journey. Or maybe they would have to exchange money in order to give an offering. And so what had happened was all these vendors and these people, merchants, had figured out, oh, we could make some money here. And so they set up this business in the temple, selling animals for sacrifice, exchanging money to give as an offering. But when Jesus says, you have made it into a den of thieves or a den of robbers, It communicates that they weren't just trying to help people worship God. They weren't there saying, okay, these people need a way that they can give a sacrifice, even though they've traveled a long ways. So let's make that possible for them and help them. No, no, no. They were like, ooh, they've come a long way. They want to sacrifice. They'll probably pay anything we ask. And so they had probably made extremely insane prices for these animals, for the doves, for the lambs. But the people, if they wanted to make a sacrifice, they had to pay it. They probably changed or messed up the exchange rate in the money changers so that they had to spend more money to exchange it to give an offering. And they were cheating the people. And so really what we're seeing is they had created a business and were in many ways, maybe not necessarily stealing from people, but they weren't being honest. They weren't being fair. And they were taking advantage of these travelers. And this made Jesus very angry. He wanted the temple to be a place of reverent, honest, pure worship of God. And so he got angry and he kicked out all these merchants. Now, the chief priests, the Pharisees, they saw this and they were mad. What is he doing? They probably, the priests and the Pharisees, they may have gotten part of the money. They may have gotten a kickback. If they let them sell here, we'll give you part of the money. I'm not sure why, but this made them angry. Plus, seeing how the people had been praising and worshiping Jesus when he entered the city, they were done. They were angry. And so they decided to begin to really find a way to kill him. Now, all of this took place less than 1 week before Jesus died. Within a week of the time that this happened, they had figured out how to have him arrested, have a fake trial, and have him executed. And so we're getting very near the end, and Jesus knows this, but they are determined to find a way to kill him. As I look back over this story, first of all, I am reminded again, just like the people at the beginning of today's reading worshiped Jesus as he came in, I am reminded to worship and say, Hosanna, Lord, save, because God has saved us. Through Jesus, God has offered salvation, and he is worthy of our praise. And it just gets me excited when I think about that. Second, I also think about the temple. And it reminds me that in my church and in my quiet time with God, I need to keep that focused. The temple is the place to worship God. It wasn't the place to buy and sell and do all these other things. And that's part of what Jesus made Jesus angry. I also need to have a place that is separate, a place and a time that is devoted to God, that is not filled with all these other things. And so I challenge you, worship God today. Worship Jesus and thank him that he is the King. He is the King of heaven, and we should bow down and worship him and praise him that as even as the King of heaven, he loves us. And that is amazing. I pray that you would worship Jesus today. And that also you would find times in every day to just put everything else aside, to clear everything else out, not letting work or anything other than worshiping God into your little time and into your place. Find a time and a place that is carved out for God alone and worship and hearing from him. And protect that. Let's pray. Lord, I do thank you that you are the King of heaven, that you are my rescuer. You do save me. So I thank you and praise you for that. Lord, help me to stay focused on you as my King and not be distracted by other things and just keep my time with you holy and pure and focused on you. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.